Welcome to Cairo Feast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic. Come and get it, everybody. Cairo Feast is online and we are ready to serve. And what I decided to do today is share with you a conversation between myself, Dane Donahue, who owns 8 Weeks to Wellness, and Justin Nye, who also is a key player in 8 Weeks to Wellness, a great company that all of you should take a look at. This conversation was done during a Big Fish boot camp, and I just thought it was such a great conversation after we were done that I would share it with everyone. So you get to have a little bit of part of what is normally not available to people that are not a part of Big Fish Coaching. And this is going to be a great conversation for you to listen in on. We cover a lot of bases. We talk about being congruent, being believable, because people have a BS meter, okay? And people will know if you're not being congruent with what you are saying. So are you doing what you are saying? Are you congruent? We also talked about what people, what patients actually want, the top 9 things that people actually want from their doctor. Wouldn't you like to know what those 9 things are that people want from their doctor? And how many of those are you following through on? We talked about that. How to be an expert in patient communication. And the 3 of us on this call are great communicators. And so you can learn a lot about being an expert in communication. How to be a leader. How to lead your team and not just be a boss. And then how to lead leaders, how to develop leaders within your organization so that you're leading a group of leaders instead of just, you know, leading people that are just following. We also dip into different revenue streams in your office. And there's even talk, there's a nugget in this episode today of marriage advice. So, I mean, we covered the bases. So enjoy listening into this. I think you'll enjoy it. And reach out to me if you have any questions, any comments, jeff@spinesavers.com. That's jeff@spinesavers.com. Reach out to me and please enjoy. Today, we've got an old friend, Dane Donahue, with us. Dane, we go way back and we won't tell stories and whatnot, but suffice it to say, we've known each other for the better part of probably 15 years or so.
Yeah, I think it's been more than that, Jeff.
It could be. Time is flying. But yeah, Dane comes at us from the Pennsylvania, kind of Philadelphia area, right? You're about a half an hour from, or an hour maybe, from Philly?
Yeah, if you draw a line in between Philadelphia and New York, I'm right on the Delaware River, right across the river from New Jersey.
Awesome. So East Coast, Dane has a company called 8 Weeks to Wellness. And so he is, you know, honestly, I got to say, probably in our profession, the preeminent expert in wellness in terms of being an entrepreneur in the wellness industry in more ways than just chiropractic. And being healthy involves more than just getting an adjustment. And I think that's where Dane's expertise is phenomenal and unmatched, honestly, in our profession. So welcome to the boot camp. And I'm going to turn it over to Justin. Justin knows, you know, a lot of the questions to ask you and whatnot. I've got some in my pocket, you know, that I'm going to ask you today that I get asked by lots of people that I coach. And so I look forward to jumping in and asking some questions as well. But welcome, Dane, and Justin, take it away.
Yeah, so welcome, Dane, to the boot camp this week. Jeff, great intro on Dane. As you spoke, he runs a company called 8 Weeks to Wellness and all the different components that go with it. If you guys got questions or anything at the bottom of the page, throw them in the chat. Sometimes it's easier to answer questions than to continue going on and not knowing exactly what everyone wants to learn, Dane. So, Dane, tell us a little bit about you, how you got into this space and place, because we record this and then Jeff puts it out on his podcast as well. So tell us a little bit about you and how you got into this space.
Sure. I won't bore you guys too much, but, you know, I'm a third generation chiropractor. My son, who I speak to almost every day now because he's taking finals at life and he's in his ninth quarter, will be a fourth generation chiropractor. And so I grew up the son of a chiropractor, the grandson of a chiropractor. I have a twin sister who's a chiropractor. I have an uncle who was my mentor who's a chiropractor. So I definitely grew up in a chiropractic family, and nobody really had to educate me, not only in terms of chiropractic and chiropractic philosophy. I was very fortunate that my dad and my uncle took me to see the likes of Reggie Gold and Jim Sigafoos and Ian Grassam and, you know, some of these names that Jeff probably knows, but a lot of you guys may not have heard these amazing speakers, Fred Barge and Jim Parker. And so, you know, growing up in a chiropractic family, you know, I didn't know any different. And, you know, when I got into practice, what I recognized really quick is chiropractic is an amazing, amazing philosophy and tool. It is a science, art, and a philosophy. And, but the chiropractic that we practice today, I think is a little bit different than what they practiced 50 years ago, not in terms of the way we adjust and the understanding of innate philosophy, but in terms of the medium that we're adjusting into. You know, I know that when my grandfather practiced, there was no such thing as Facebook. People actually talked face to face. So I think people were a lot socially healthier. I know people ate whole foods because that was all that was available. I know that people didn't sit 7, 8, 9 hours a day because 70% of the workforce actually worked outside of the home doing something physically active. I always say if you took somebody from 500 years ago, Justin, and you brought them in a time capsule and we took them to a gym, they would be like, what the hell is that thing? Why is that person running and not going anywhere? You know? So they just wouldn't know because that's what they did to survive, right? And so I recognized probably about 10 years in practice, I was frustrated because I saw people, they weren't living what I would consider the chiropractic lifestyle. So we have chiropractic philosophy, right? And we have a chiropractic lifestyle. And to me, I always loved the chiropractic lifestyle in that definition of health. Health is the body's ability to adapt to its environment. And for me, that was a two-part equation. The adaptation process, which is obviously a healthy, vibrant nervous system, but it's also the environment that that nervous system resides within. And so we had to respect both the internal resistance of the patient, but the external environment that we put that patient in. And it was interesting. Somebody just posted, I think it was James Chester on Facebook not too long ago. And this is something I thought about for years and years. You know, why is it that some of these really high-level chiropractors, the Fred Barges of the world, the Jim Sigafooses, the Sid Williams, these guys I listened to, they didn't live to the average lifespan of a male in the U.S. And I would say to myself, you know, if chiropractic is so amazing, you know, these are the top chiropractors that are not only philosophically sound, but hopefully they're living their principles and getting adjusted. So why is it not, you know, that they're living to 110, right, with these healthy, vibrant nervous systems? And I think a lot of them didn't understand the, you know, I don't want to say they were blinded, but they were so focused on the philosophy of chiropractic. And but yet we have these environmental forces that act on our body, too. So, you know, after I was maybe 10 years in practice, I'm like, how do we create, you know, some sort of a structure around chiropractic and lifestyle together, because I don't think there's anything matched in holistic healthcare that when you take chiropractic care and you amalgamate it with lifestyle care, right? Which is eat well, move well, think well, right? I don't think there's anything that comes close to producing the results that we get with those two combined models.
I would agree. Jeff, you got anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've asked myself that same question about our forefathers, you know, in chiropractic, and it absolutely makes sense. Everything you said resonates with me, Dane, because, you know, I've known plenty of very, very successful chiropractors that have a huge pot belly, eat whatever the heck they want, you know, drink too much, smoke cigars, and not that you can't enjoy life a little bit. So that's not what it's about. But what do you do consistently? And what do you do on a regular basis to be around for the future of chiropractic? Somebody like yourself, Dane, I want you to live to be 110, honestly, because I want the wisdom that comes out of your brain and out of your heart to be felt by another couple of generations of chiropractors. And what can we do to do that? So take care of yourselves. I'm talking to all of you. Take care of yourselves. And, I'm talking to myself. I do the best I can, and with all the things I have going on, and I could always do better. But at the same time, I want us all to practice what we preach.
So it's funny you say that, because I just put this together for this, but I don't know if you guys can see my screen. Let me shut the closed caption off. But the very first, I was like, okay, what can I share that will really have an impact? And, so I'm like, all right, these are five keys of things that I've learned in my 32 years of practice, particularly, having this chiropractic wellness-based practice, not where we just talk wellness, but we really, really hold people's hand and we get them to understand the lifestyle habits. And the very first point I was going to make, you just made for me, Jeff, is be congruent, be congruent. You can't sell what you don't own, right? People have a BS meter. So you can't, talk about wellness and you have a big pot belly, because, people are going to see right through you. They're going to know that you don't practice what you preach, right? And then also not just the chiropractor, Jeff, but I see a lot of the staffs aren't congruent. I go to these so-called wellness-based chiropractic practices, and you can just tell the staff isn't congruent with living a healthy lifestyle, right? So when was the last time you got adjusted? I got adjusted yesterday. When was the last time you trained with a trainer or a coach? When was the last time you got a massage? When was the last time you prepared or cooked a healthy meal? When was the last time you took your supplements? These are all things that we're going to teach our patients to do healthy. And the question is, are you congruent? And why would you expect a patient to do something that you weren't willing to do? And like you said, Jeff, none of us are perfect, right? But it's what we do consistently. I love the 80-20 model. 80% of your results come from 20% of your inputs or what you do. So, focus on that 20%. For me with healthcare, it's getting adjusted. It's exercise. It's taking my supplements, eating healthy food. It's somebody had mentioned stress. I get up every day and I spend at least an hour or two. And what we learn, Jeff, through Master Circle is the hour of power. I read, I meditate, I pray, I spend time with God and I think about the wins in my life and the things that I'm grateful for. And, so all of this stuff, we have to be congruent and when you do that, man, I'm 55 years old. I've never taken a prescription medication ever. I don't plan on it. If I needed it, I would take it, but I don't need it because I have a healthy body and mind. And it's not by accident, it's by living this lifestyle. And that's what I want for my patients. So easy for me to talk about it when I live it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dane, move that memory usage over your screen there.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. Then we can see the whole thing. Yeah, I agree with you, Dane. I think a lot of doctors on the call and a lot of doctors across, we talk a lot this with our ABC Wellness doctors, is you need to create a space where your team can get adjusted, where your team can work out, and promote that, right? I mean, Jeff, you taught me this from day one when we worked together, is you bring a new team member on, and what's the first thing you do? You run them through your day one and day two process, and you run them through all the things you'd run a patient through. And the reason we do that is because we want them to understand what it is that we're promoting in our office. But then ultimately, they are better human beings if they're getting adjusted on a regular basis, if they're taking supplements, if they're working out. That's why at my office, we redo 8 weeks to wellness at the beginning of every year. So if you're not an AWW doctor, redo some health program, promote some sort of a challenge to your team that maybe will get them geared up to start to want to be more healthy and well, and include things like supplements if you sell them at your office, or mindfulness or things like that. And then at the same time, go work out with your team. Go for a run with your team. We work out every Monday at 12:30 to 1. And you can look at my Facebook page for our office and you'll see a picture of my team and the workout we do every single Monday. And that's all you see. And I think when you're congruent in this space of your life, as well as your personal life, I think success is inevitable. What do you think, Jeff?
I love that. And we're We're clearly not being successful with that. We don't have a specific time, and that's something I think we need. Now, here's the thing, you know, you can look at a superstar like Justin and say, well, good grief, every Monday, I don't know if we can do that. How do we coordinate that? You know, take a nibble, you know, if it needs to be, you know, once a month until you get in a nice rhythm, and then go to twice a month and then eventually get to one, you know, start somewhere, do something. And what I like about that idea is just the fact that it gets you all together, you know, and you're putting it out there. And, you know, there might be somebody on your team that has a second job that can't make it on that day or that kind of thing. That's okay. You know, you're offering it, you're putting it out there, and it's part of your value system.
And I would also say, what about your adjustment day for your team? I every team member has an adjustment day in my office. I adjusted two team members yesterday because their adjustment day is Monday. And they know they're going to get adjusted every single Monday. I have another team member that I adjust on Wednesdays. So my team has to have an adjustment day. So they understand the value of chiropractic care on a regular basis. Just like I want to get my adjustment day is Wednesday. I want to get adjusted on a weekly basis. And it gets people trained that we get adjusted every week for performance. Not because, you know, oh, doc, my shoulder's hurting, my neck's hurting, can you adjust me this week? Like when you have an adjustment day, that which gets scheduled gets done. It's going to get done every single week. And isn't that what you would want for your patients? So right. Why wouldn't you expect it for your team?
Yep.
Yeah. Look in the mirror, everybody. You know, it's what's your day? You know, what's the day that you get adjusted? You know, I'm pretty good at winging stuff. You know, I know Justin is, I think I learned this from him. He's the master of winging stuff. But you know, I've got so many moving parts and whatnot. I can kind of wing it with a lot of things and wing it pretty well. And so I make sure I get adjusted 1 to 2 times per week. But not everybody's like that. What Dane said is true of like probably 90% of America. And that is what gets scheduled happens or is much more likely to happen. You know, same thing with your patients. You know, I'm coaching people every week about, forward scheduling. You know, I mean, you got to schedule people out. I mean, if you open the month of December right now, our books are probably 40% full for the month of December. You know, how many clinics can say that? Honestly, I talk to a lot of clinics and maybe 10%. You know, so if you're not scheduling out your wellness practice, now if somebody just started in their, you know, corrective care plan, you know, they may not have that scheduled yet, but get them scheduled out, because there's a much more likelihood that people are going to stay with you if you schedule them out. There's so many clinics that are just scheduling people week to week. That is so dangerous and it's so stressful. It almost makes me stressed right now thinking about it. So, you know, what gets scheduled is much more likely to happen. Do it with your adjustments, do it with your workouts, do it with, you know, your patients.
So this is something that I, when I do outside talks for chiropractors, I just love this slide. And it was done, this was done a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. But the, you know, the point of this, it was done by the Society for Participatory Medicine. They asked 3,000 people, what do you want from your healthcare provider? You know, like, what are the most important things? And this is order of priority. Here's what they said. Having a doctor that listens to them, having a doctor that's caring and compassionate, having a doctor that explains things well, having convenient and quick access to healthcare, having pleasant interactions with the staff in our office. And I can honestly say, Jeff and Justin, that these, I'm super proud of my team, because, you know, we really excel in these areas. So when I read this, I'm like, wow, you know, the number one thing, they didn't want a doctor that was technically competent. Of course, that's important, okay? But they want a doctor that listens to them, right? And so, you know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So many chiropractors just want to go right in without really understanding, you know, what do they say? You know, before you, the people care how much you know, they want to know how much you care, you know, and really having empathy and listening to that person. I can tell you, you know, in my day one and day twos, when we're sitting down with the patient, is I want to get to know about them, where they come from, why are they there? You know, what are they looking to get out of the experience in our office? So I just think this is a really important slide to maybe go over with your team and say, hey, listen, this is what people want out of care. How are we doing on a scale of 1 to 10, and have your teams rate your office And how well does the doctor listen? You know, do you listen to your team? They're going to let you know. How caring and compassionate is the team? You know, so I think this is something really good that could be a great team meeting ritual or a great team meeting exercise, if you will.
I love this. This is a fantastic slide. In fact, I would like to break this down, and I'm just going to make this announcement now because then you're really on the hook, Dane. Dane has volunteered to be one of our speakers at the next ChiroLife, and Dane has been a speaker at ChiroLife multiple times in the past. We keep having him back every couple years or so, and the reason I love having you, Dane, is you bring such incredible passion to any event that you participate in, and I'd like to break this down. I mean, this would be a great workshop and something cool to do more with. My brain's spinning right now, just ways that we could utilize this in our office.
Yeah, well, just let's break into that first. Having a doctor that explains things well, having a doctor that listens. You know, I think to at least, Jeff, and I'm sure you would agree with this, the amazing chiropractors that I've seen in my life have not only been amazing adjusters, I think that's really important to be technically competent with your adjustment, but they've been incredible communicators. I mean, the ones that were really high level that I would put in the top 5% of the people that I've seen successful in practice, they were expert in patient communication. And, you know, we know that communication isn't just the words you say, it's the tone of your voice, it's your body language, you know, and it's so important. You talked about passion. You know, that passion just comes from wanting to connect with another human being and kind of want to get across what I feel is really important, right? So I just love doing day one, day twos. I had a patient yesterday. You want to talk about wellness? I love giving real life examples. This guy was in last Thursday as a new patient. He came in yesterday for his report of findings. He was 6 foot tall, 356 pounds. He had a body fat of 44%. He is a piano professor at a local college. He teaches music and piano. And when I tell you, he was the epitome of a person who's going to die young. He's 58 years old, 350 pounds, and just in really, really poor health. And he had so much apathy at the day one. Like, just, I could tell this was a guy that was beaten. Didn't care. And I didn't know if I was going to accept him as a patient. I really didn't, because I'm like, listen, this guy, I'm his fourth chiropractor, by the way. He's been to three other chiropractors that he hadn't stuck with. And I'm like, listen, am I just going to be the next in a you know, list of chiropractors that he comes to for a year or two and then goes to see somebody different? And I sat down with him yesterday and I just said to him, I was like, his name was Lewis. And I was like, listen, Lewis, I don't think I can accept you as a patient. And he kind of sat back and he looked at me and I said, listen, you know, I don't want to be the next in a long list of chiropractors that have taken care of you. And I said, to be quite honest, I didn't get a sense that you were really motivated to make changes in your lifestyle. And that's the kind of care that we provide in our office. I don't want to just adjust you. I want to adjust your lifestyle. You're 350 pounds. And, you know, me adjusting your spine is kind of like rearranging the decks on the chairs on the Titanic. You know, it may be okay, but you're still going down, you know? And I was just honest with him. I'm like, listen, the next 10 years of your life is not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty if you don't make some changes to your lifestyle. And an adjustment is not going to fix that, okay? An adjustment is going to be a really important part of that. But if you're not willing to make some changes in your lifestyle, I'm not the guy for you. And he sat back and he kind of looked at me and he smiled. He said, well, what do I need to do? I said, the first thing you need to do is you need to commit that you need to make some changes in your lifestyle and in your health. Because I had went over his wellness score and I went over all the things that we do that Justin knows about. And his wellness score was a 46 out of 100. You know, that's not good, you know? So at least, you know, at least I felt like it rattled his cage enough to open him up, because I wasn't going to just continue to say, okay, I'm going to adjust you. And really, what really long-term is that going to do for a 350-pound man? Is it better than not doing anything? Yes. But is that going to save him? No. But chiropractic and lifestyle modification could absolutely transform that guy's life. And when I see that he's a professor that, you know, he has an influence on students and other people, and he's so beaten down, he was just so depressed. And I knew a lot of it was just his physiology and the way he was feeling.
You know, you're getting me riled up here, Dane, because there was a conversation in our office yesterday between a couple of our interns and a couple of docs in our office. And, you know, our schools are barely teaching chiropractic anymore. There are professors and teachers that are teaching minutiae of joints and tendons and ligaments and rehab, and they're so narrow focused. They're not teaching subluxation. In fact, a lot of times they're not even allowing that word in the curriculum. They're not teaching philosophy, and that's a basis. That's our foundation of chiropractic. And then you build on that, and you know, you just went through, you know, some of the stuff here that people want. They want to be communicated with. They want information. They want to learn because nobody's given it to them. The medical professionals, they don't have time. They come flying into the room with their little iPads. They give you 7 minutes. They barely touch you. And all they're thinking about really is what is my plan of action going to be for this person? Writing a prescription or sending them for tests and stuff like that. It's just, there's no connection and no passion for teaching people why their bodies are not functioning. And then you go, you know, Dane, to your level where you're adding these other layers of lifestyle and wellness and what can really transform somebody's life versus just, you know, have an impact. And I mean, that guy is so fortunate to have stepped into your office. And all we can hope for is that that person connected with the idea and is at a point in his life where he's ready. And not everybody is ready at the time that, you know, they walk into your office, and sometimes you got to let them walk out because they're just not ready. But hopefully he's ready, and his life is going to be changed. You know, one of the things I want to get to, I'm just going to plant the seed because I want to talk about eventually. I want to keep going with what you have here, Dane, but eventually before we're done, I want to talk about the different revenue streams, because that's a part of this as well. Because we have our business hat on as well as our philosophical hat in how we're going to be the best doctor for people. So eventually we'll get to that here in our conversation. But I'll let you continue here, Dane.
Sure. Let's see. I think I want to just wrap that up. But, you know, obviously with when it comes to communication, guys, let me just go back one here. These are some of the, you know, I really, again, communication to me is a three-part thing. You know, it's, you know, the words that we use, it's our tone of voice, it's our body language. And obviously people learn, I think, best through visual aids. So we just use a lot of communication tools in our office. One of the big ones that Justin's familiar with in the middle is our wellness continuum to really, like you were talking about, Jeff, most people don't understand what health is. They don't understand health's body ability to adapt to its environment. But when you explain it, it's such a simple concept. You know, health is the body's ability to adapt to its environment. So we have two things we need to focus on. How's your body adapting? And that's a product of your nervous system function, which we'll talk about. And then the environment you put yourself into in terms of what you're eating, how you're moving, whether you sit all day long, how much stress you have at home and at work, and how your body manages that stress. And people understand these concepts when we go through. And then we can talk about the triune of health model. You know, it's like, listen, there's three stressors that we really focus on when it comes to your environment. And that is namely how you're moving, how you're managing emotional stress, and then biochemically, you know, what are you eating and drinking? So it's physical, mental, emotional, and biochemical. And so it's just, you know, to get the docs on the call to understand that you've got to put time into becoming a great educator, and you've got to think about the resources and tools that you're using. I'm on the coaching calls all the time, Jeff. I just had an intern who literally just finished up last week from Life. And I find that doctors talk too fast. They don't connect. They're not asking questions. They're not telling stories. They're talking over patients' heads, using big words that they don't understand. And it's like, man, just get down on their level and have a heart-to-heart to them and talk to them in terms and use visuals that they can understand that really breaks it down. My grandfather, who was a chiropractor, always said, kiss, Dane, kiss, kiss, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, that's what patients need.
Right on.
Yep.
And I'll just go through these and then we can get through here. You know, this is something that I feel like Justin really excels, probably much better than I do. But just knowing how to lead your team. So Justin, I don't know if you want to touch on that, but I can tell you the leader that I am, you know, today is so much different than the leader I was 20 years ago. And I'm really proud of the leader I've become in my practice. And a lot of that stems from empathy. And Justin, I'm always amazed by your ability to have empathy for the people that work for you and to really tolerate mistakes and teach people and love on them. And it really just brings out the best in them. And I've learned a lot of that from you, but you know, it's being the difference between being a boss and a leader. I used to be a boss and now I'm a leader.
Yeah, I agree. I think leadership comes from just one, I mean, understanding the people that are around you and understanding that they're human beings with ideas and you don't know it all. I think a lot of us as chiropractors, and I don't know about you guys, but I get some interns in here now and again. I got one now that just that he thinks that he's somehow, because he has doctor behind his last name and he paid a couple hundred thousand dollars to go to school, that somehow he's better than the person answering the phones at the front or the person doing the marketing. And it's like, well, you're really not, because you haven't earned the right to be in this space. Just because you have a piece of paper and a diploma doesn't mean that somehow you got the right to know and tell people do something when they've been doing it for 6 years, 5 years. They're experts in their space. They've paid their dues and they know what they're doing. And so rather than telling them I'm better than you, it's coming alongside these human beings. And that's what I stress to my team. It's like, we're coming alongside together in a mission and a purpose. But again, we go back to what we talked about at the beginning is you have to enroll these people in your purpose, in your mission, in your practice. And you want to hear words like, when we do this for patients, when we have this success, when what are we going to do to make this patient do this? What are we, you know, they're putting themselves in the practice as if they have ownership. And that only comes when you allow them to create a space and a culture within their position that they can be successful, that they can feel like they're making an impact, and realizing that you're not the smartest one in the room on all the topics. Yes, you still have to lead and direct and keep that focus. But ultimately, when you come alongside human beings on a one mission, one purpose, you can change the world. And I believe that with every practice and every doctor is on here. And if you're struggling with teams and you're having your team quit or you're always hiring someone new, I'd stop looking at new employees and I'd start looking in the mirror, because there's one consistent, constant thing to that equation, and that's you. So what is it that you're doing that you could improve on so that you're a better human being to work with? Not for. I don't want people to work for me. I want people to work with me, because together we can make a huge shift. And I think that's where this difference between a boss and the leader comes from, is I don't want to be anybody's boss. I want to be somebody's leader. I want to be somebody's coworker in this mission of wellness and changing lives, and how big can we get it? And that's what excites me every day. And that's what I hope excites my team every day.
You know,
I think patients want a leader too, Justin, instead of a boss. You know, this, what do patients always say? You know, my doctor feels like he's, you know, I put him up on a pedestal, and, you know, instead of leading their patients, they're dictating to their patients. And so I think, you know, our patients want somebody to lead them as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I want to jump in and say that, you know, when you look at that diagram there, you want to be a leader of leaders. And mm-hmm. So ultimately, you want to develop leaders within your organization, and you want your organization to be everybody leading in their own way. You know, now you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen all trying to do the same thing. But everybody can be an influencer of the culture, an influencer of the business. And I'm gonna toot his horn, because this just happened like a half an hour ago. So Dr. Brady just walked into my office and he handed me this. What is that? It's a March Madness bracket. Okay. And he said, he gave me the rules, and he told me, okay, here's what I've organized. And I didn't tell him to do this, you know, and I don't know where he got the idea or whatever, but I love that, because that takes initiative to say, you know what, I believe in the culture and I appreciate the culture, and I want to be a part of initiating something fun for the office to do. So fill out your dang bracket, Dr. Jeff, and get involved, and let's have some fun. And that's basically what Brady showed me. And man, that makes me proud. And I thanked him for that. And I mean that, because if you want to be the boss, the leader, the one guy that is trying to make everything happen, I'm telling you, you will burn out and you will be an exhausted human being. But when you surround yourself with people that can grab things and take initiative and make things happen and create things that add to the culture in your office, my goodness, your team and your mission is unstoppable. It truly is. And so I just want to shout out to Brady for doing that.
That's awesome.
All right. So let's finish these 2 points and then we could talk about what you wanted to talk about. I think this is really huge here. Delivering on the promise. You know, we always say sell them what they want, but teach them what they need, right? You know, unfortunately, we're in a healthcare model where not too many of my new patients, and I'm a wellness practice, I think a high level wellness practice, not too many people come into my practice. It does happen, but we don't get a ton of patients that come in without symptoms and saying, hey, listen, I want to be the best version of myself physiologically. And that's why I'm here. You know, most people are coming in with some sort of, you know, symptom or some sort of crisis and varying degrees. Some people big crisis, some people little crisis, but they're all wanting something. They're there. If you ask them, you know, what are you here for, Jeff? They're like, man, my lower back's killing me, or my shoulder, or my neck, or I've got allergies, or, you know, I'm 50 pounds overweight, or I got diabetes, or these are a lot of the common things that we hear. Or, you know, maybe they even say, I've read that chiropractic is great for lowering blood pressure. I love that, you know, but they're there for something. And you got to sell them what they want. You've got to, you know, so many chiropractors, and I think, Jeff, you remember this 20 years ago, was like, hey, let's not even entertain that. Let's go right to chiropractic philosophy. We don't care about symptoms. We don't want to talk about your symptoms. You know, that's not what you're here for. We're here to correct subluxation, as if they know what subluxation is coming right into your practice. So it's, you know, give them what they want and then show them what they could have. And I think when you connect with the person, like, again, I always love this, and I learned this from Brad Galacki, but when you're looking at a group picture, who's the first person you look for? You look for you, you know, when you're in a picture with a group of people, first person you're going to look at is, what do I look like, right? Well, that's the way people think. It's like they want to be heard. They want to be listened to. They come in for a reason. We got to honor that and talk to them about that. And once they feel heard, it's just like my wife. You know, I learned this the hard way. But man, the more I listen to my wife and the more that, you know, I'm focused on her strengths, the more she's connected me and wants to listen to me and do the things that I want. You know, it's just it's a principle that just applies to everything. So the more you listen and connect to your patients and they feel heard, the more they're willing to listen to you. So you sell them what they want, but then you teach them what they need. And they need so much more than their lower back pain fixed, right? They need so much more than, you know, they're just their atlas being adjusted and correcting that headache. Yeah, it's important, but they need more than that in terms of one adjustment helping their headache. Because what happens when their symptoms go away if they're not educated to a higher, you know, a higher value of what chiropractic really can do? And, you know, finally, retention equals results and relationships. And I would say the one thing I'm really proud of in my practice is, you know, our numbers really don't fluctuate that much based on our new patients, because we have so many patients that we put into the chiropractic wellness bucket that they don't get adjusted for symptoms. They get adjusted because it's Wednesday and they want to be adjusted weekly, you know, or they want to get adjusted every 2 weeks. And so we have so many of those patients that we don't need a ton of new patients in our practice. We see a lot of new patients, but we don't need a ton of new patients. And I think when you get results with patients and you have a great relationship with patients, you know, you don't have to worry about having a down week in new patients because your retention is so high.
Well, I didn't know we were going to get marriage advice on this boot camp, but Dane, you're bringing it, man. Thank you. it's interesting. If you ask chiropractors, you know, would you like to have a wellness practice? Kind of across the board, like 98% of all doctors are like, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, wellness practice. How many people, though, actually know how to grow one? Like almost nobody. They have no idea. And if it's because they get so stuck in that person that you described coming in that wants pain relief. And then the doctor just goes with that. And that's all they do. And they don't take the time to mold that person into someone that understands what wellness actually means so that they can then have that in your office. You have to build your own wellness practice. You got to build your own people that want wellness, because if you want wellness, sure, you can advertise out there. You can put stuff on social media saying, you know, if you want wellness and maintenance care, you know, for life, you should call our office. And guess what you'll get? like the two people out of 5,000 that actually are thinking that out there. This doesn't exist. You have to make them. You've got to build them. You've got to teach them and create them. And once you do, guess what? They spawn. You know, they have kids and they've got family that they introduce. And then you get, you know, multiple generations that understand the principles of what we try to teach. And that's what's rewarding, is building it. But I'm sorry if anybody out there thinks that you can just have a wellness practice happen, it don't happen. You have to build it. All right, I'll be quiet.
Yeah, but I love that quote. You know, research shows it's 6 to 7 times more expensive to acquire a new customer than to keep an existing customer, right? And I always say, Jeff, like, if you really want to know about your practice, read your reviews, because I think that's, you know, for me, what I've always learned from my family. My dad taught me this when I first got out of school. He said, your best form of marketing will always be your patient results, your patient experience. You know, and I'll say that again, because I think it's really powerful, but your best form of marketing in your career will be the experience your patients and the results your patients get in your office. And you want to know about results and experience, read your reviews. What do patients have to say about their experience in your office, their experience with your team? And I love reading our reviews, because it just confirms that we really do have a wellness-based practice, and we get a ton of referrals because people are having these amazing experiences, not just in our office, but amazing results experience outside of the office with the quality of their life. Because we know when people are vibrating at a higher level, and they're healthier, and they're stronger, and they're fitter, and their nervous system is functioning better, man, they take that person out into the world. They're better moms, they're better dads, they're happier people. And we live in a really sick world, man, really sick world. So when you're helping people vibrate at this level, and it's impacting the quality of their life, and then radiating it out in their circle of influence, man, that gives me chills, because that's an experience that people are willing to tell other people about.
And I don't want, like, Dane, what you said there, I don't want to go unnoticed. Like, and Brian mentioned this in the chat too, like, look at your reviews. And Dane didn't say, well, look at how much they're talking about how great I am and how awesome I do at adjusting patients. You know, read the reviews, read my reviews. Very, very seldom do they ever say Dr. Justin's amazing. They say things like the experience, the knowledge of the team, how great the front was and how they welcomed them, and all the components of what the experience was like. But never does, and then they might say, well, you know, I am getting better and I have less back pain, or I've done their 8 weeks of wellness program and I'm seeing amazing results. But they always lead with how their experience was. And if you go back to leadership, if you go back to communication, if you go back to the experience, it's not about the adjustment. I promise you that it is an amazing thing to us. And us chiropractors think it's the bomb. And I agree. But at the end of the day, people are looking for an experience that changes their lives. And in your practice, whatever you do, whatever components of wellness you have in your practice, that experience is what changes their lives. Not you, but the experience, the team, the culture, all the things that you can't touch. That's what changes their lives. And that's what builds your practice. And like Jeff was saying, if it doesn't just happen. If you want this wellness practice, this wellness component within your wellness patients, then you're going to have to create a culture that bleeds wellness, that bleeds love and support. And that's what's going to get you success in this model in any shape or form in your practice.
I would say go back, guys, and look 6 months ago at your active patient list from 6 months ago, and then just do this with your team. Go through that active patient list. So anybody who hasn't been in 6 months, and then maybe a year prior to that, and then see those list of patients, how many people are still in your practice? You want to know if you have a wellness practice? How many of those people that were there 6 months ago are still in your practice now? That's the best way to know if you have a wellness practice. And if it's, you know, obviously it's, you know, if it's 80, 90%, you're amazing, you know, but if it's 10 or 5%, man, you don't have a wellness practice. You have a revolving door practice.
Yeah. What's a good number? You know, so here we are, we're sitting here in March. If we go back and do like new patients from March of 2023 through October of 2023, how many of those people are still in your office getting an adjustment at least once a month? What do you think? And this is open to everybody. Anybody can comment on this. What should that number be? Like, what would be a successful number? What percentage?
Justin, well, I would say 50%, 40 to 50%, because, you know, listen, you know, we live in a world where people have, you know, they have constraints, time, money, intelligence. Some people don't get it, you know? So I think 50%, but man, if you're adding these people, and then you're going to get lifers, man, you're going to get people that come in and they get it. They want their family to get adjusted and they're going to be with you for life. Jeff, you probably have it. I have it. I have people that I take care of that started with my grandfather. Okay. And now I'm taking care of their kids and their kids' kids. I have patients in my practice that I used to adjust on my knee that now have kids that I adjust on my knee. You know, those are the type of people that I want, you know, those are the lifers. And so you're going to get a percentage of those, but I would say, you know, 6 months or a year after a person started care, if they're still in your practice and you're at 50%, you're doing pretty damn good.
Okay. Would you agree with that number, Justin? Or has anybody else have any thought on that?
I think I'd agree with that number. I was thinking in that 50 to 60 mark. I think if you can, you know, if you bring in, call it 50 new patients in March of 2023 and, you know, 25 of those are on some sort of a plan within your practice continued, you know, into September. Yeah, I would say that's a very successful retention rate for long term.
So just so you know, I mean, I've been talking about this stat. I think this is a stat worth tracking. You know, we have a practice analysis with Big Fish that, you know, tracks a bunch of different things. And, you know, I don't know if this is one that actually would fit into a spreadsheet that automatically gets filled out and that kind of thing. But I think it is a stat that for those of you that have multiple doctors in your office, it's stat worth tracking. And if you're a single doctor, track it on yourself because it tells you something. If the number is 10%, then you're not close. You're not close to having a wellness practice and you need to do something differently. You know, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, if you say that you want a wellness practice, you need to do what builds a wellness practice. And that stat will tell you if you're doing it. And, you know, very clearly, if you're 10, 15, 20%, then you can do better. And there's things that, you know, as a coach, I can help you do better. If anybody, you know, on this call, if you're Big Fish, you can call me. I mean, you can call me anytime. You can text me, you can reach out. We can talk about this. There are things that that you can do better. Dane, did you have any more points on your PowerPoint?
I had one, but why don't we save that for Chiro Life? And that'll keep them in suspense. And we only have, you know, some like 10 minutes. And I know you wanted to talk about kind of the financial model. And I'll just share this, Jeff, because Justin knows this, but it's a true story. It's a true story, and chiropractic always means something a little different, but I swear this is a true story. when we were with the Master Circle, Jeff, that you know, and that's kind of where we initially met. And we're talking early 2000s, 2003, 2004. My sister and I started talking about developing this wellness model in our practice. And not just a chiropractic wellness model where you just get adjusted for the rest of your life to stay healthy. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think that's great. But a wellness model where you're getting adjusted for the rest of your life, but then you're adding wellness components like exercise, nutrition, mindfulness, that kind of stuff. We started developing the 8 weeks of wellness model in 2003. We launched in 2003. We started in about 2002, you know, writing the manual. What would this look like? How would we automate this process for patients? So we launched 8 weeks to wellness in 2003 in our practice. And at the time, Jeff, we were collecting about $850,000, you know, my sister and I, which wasn't a bad practice for a chiropractic family practice. And by 2006, we were collecting $2.2 million in our practice. And that was just adding, not more adjustments, that was adding the additional services, the nutrition, the supplements, the exercise in office with trainers, massage therapists that we weren't doing. So all those ancillary services, and there's kind of different ways that you can skin it. You know, I think some chiropractors, they don't necessarily have maybe the management style to manage 20 employees. You know, I've seen that. And, you know, so some chiropractors may want to add automated parts of wellness, like nutrition is very easy to automate. Supplements are easy to automate. You don't necessarily need a team member for that. So that kind of stuff. But my point is that it really transformed our practice, and it really transformed my mindset in terms of what people were willing to pay for. You know, we weren't an insurance dependent practice anymore. Of the 850,000, we were probably 30% cash, 70% insurance. And we literally flipped that in a couple of years to be 70% cash and 30% insurance. And now I would say we're probably 80%, 85% cash and about 10 to 15% insurance in our practice. And I just love the fact that, you know, I have a box over there that I'm looking at right now that just has a lot of cash in it that I really don't know what to do with, because we bring home tons of cash.
Put my address on that. So throw it in the bag.
But my wife hands me cash. My wife's my office manager. And, you know, just this morning she handed me a ton of cash and it went in the box, you know, and don't tell anybody about that. But we will pay taxes on that if you're listening, Uncle Sam. But it's nice to come home at the end of the day and have a ton of cash that people are willing to pay you for. And not just cash, but, you know, obviously, you know, your bank account is reflection of your checks and your credit cards and all that stuff.
So, Dane, one of the most common things that it almost comes up in every coaching experience that I've had with any chiropractor, at some point it will come up. And that is, what can I do besides what I'm doing now, besides chiropractic? What can I do? What other avenue, what other revenue stream can I add to my practice? Should I get into real estate? Should I, be somebody crazy like Jeff and Justin and Ross, start buying restaurants? And, you know, what should I do? You know, there's all kinds of multi-level marketing things and blah, blah, blah. And I think the first answer to that is, what can you do that builds on what you're already super good at? Okay. I mean, Here you have a practice, and you mentioned it, Dane. You said, you know, things that you can add that don't take up a ton of your time, that can be automated, that you can add to your practice. I was just talking with a couple of chiropractors this morning, and they're working with Nutridyne now to develop three items from Nutridyne that is specifically for people that are inflammatory or, you know, in a ton of pain. And it's like a nerve product.
Ease.
And a muscle product and a
muscle ease.
Yeah, and an inflammation product. And that goes together. And then creating three or four things that everybody on the planet should be taking for foundational health, or, you know, just ongoing maintenance of nutrition, and have those. And that's not hard to do. It's so easy to automate that. And you know, I'm not awesome at this. I admittedly am not awesome at, you know, at educating about nutrition. It's always been a weakness of mine. But it's not hard to do it if you can find the right person in your office. Okay. Cause again, one person can't do everything, but there's ways to automate those things. So Dane, in your experience in adding things, cause somebody might be interested in adding fitness. I mean, that's a really common thing. Good grief. If you talk to the T1, you know, T1 class, and it's 90 or 100 students, and you say, who wants to have fitness as a part of your practice? Like, almost every hand goes up. Okay. And so there's people interested, but nobody knows how to monetize that or how much work that is. How would you respond to that?
So I think you have to start small. Jeff, when my sister and I started 8 Weeks to Wellness, our fitness center was, I'm not kidding, literally 300 square feet. We could get two people and one trainer and some equipment in there. So I think you have to decide what you're passionate about. Like, I look at what we offer today versus what we offered back then, and it's a very different model, and it's kind of morphed and developed. But I think you have to look at the space. You have to look at what, you know, in our practice, like I look at our care plans. We offer so much, Jeff. We have a nutritionist on staff, you know, and every time I refer to her, I make 50% of whatever we collect. She makes 50%. I make 50%. I don't have to do the work. We have three decompression tables and two lasers and Shockwave. Shockwave is $100 in my practice, you know, and that's usually 6 to 8 treatments if we're going to treat a shoulder impingement or we're going to treat a bad knee, you know. I look at massage. I don't have to give the massage, you know, but we charge $95 for an hour massage. So when we're writing up these care plans, and these are obviously services that I believe in, I would never have a service in my practice if I didn't think it had a therapeutic benefit. So like all of these additional services that we offer in conjunction with their chiropractic care, you know, chiropractic may be 30% of the revenue that we collect in our practice, but we have all these other ancillary revenue streams that we get with our patients just developing a specific care plan. And we usually do start off with 3-month care plans and then progress into 8-month wellness plans after that, after the initial 3 months. But our 3-month care plans, Jeff, you know, can range anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000, depending on what services we've included in that care plan. And that's really going to be based on what that patient needs physiologically and also what they want in terms of the motivation of what they're there for.
You know, Justin, I'd like you to touch on this too, because I know you're a very first practice. You know, I saw it and I saw how you took a small area and created it into something that you had a value for. So how did you choose? Because that's another question I get from a lot of doctors too, is I have the space, I don't know what to do with it. And I know that space should make me money, but I don't know how to have it make me more money. So Justin, can you talk about that? And we've just got about 3 or 4 more minutes here.
I think you go back to your, you know, conversation we had in the beginning, is just being congruent in your purpose, right? I'm an athlete. I played sports my entire life. I played college sports. And so for me, it just made sense to incorporate something within my practice that aligned with that. And so when I looked for a product, if you will, or I was looking within the profession, because, you know, I don't want to recreate the wheel if it was already out there. It's a lot of work, as Dane knows. And so I just wanted to have something that I could use in my practice, but I also wanted it to be something that worked and that was being used, because I think we all know a lot of chiropractors who have spent a lot of money on a lot of things that still sit in a box, still sit on the shelf, and they've never touched. But it was a cool, shiny project that they saw at a seminar and was like, ooh, this guy's amazing. I want his thing. And there it sits, just hanging out. And I didn't want that. So, Jeff, when we first started, we were like Dane. I was in 400 square feet. You know, I had like 15 hours a week. I could do fitness out of there. I did some rehabilitation out of there. I had like 3 or 4 people and a trainer. In fact, I think I had 5 trainers at the time filling hours. And, you know, that's where I started. And from there, we remodeled the office 2 more times before we moved into the space we're in now. And we did little things like we worked with Nutridyne and we added a supplement sale day, right? And so every 3rd Wednesday of every month, we sell between $4,500 and $6,500 in products on one day, right? And then you add all the rest of the month and we sell between $7,500 and $10,000 a month in supplement products. I got into this thing because I was a chiropractor. I was going to adjust subluxations, was never going to do any nutrition. I wasn't going to talk about it, but it's a great added tool and it aligns with what I do and who I am. And personally, I take supplements. I mean, look at, you know, I'm taking them every day and I'm congruent with what I'm doing. And so if you want to do something, you don't have to go all in, buy the big shiny box and make this huge shift. You can start small in the space you're in. You can add things like Dane said, like your supplements. You could add simple exercises that you actually charge for versus just teaching the patients the exercise and say, go home and do it. Instead, you could have somebody that teaches them every day to do it and then walks them through it every single day. And you'd be amazed at how many people love the fact when they come here is, why don't other chiropractors do this where there's someone that walks through 15 minutes of exercises with me every time I come get adjusted and I get all this mobility and this movement and then I come get adjusted. Isn't there more clinics that do this? And I'm like, not really. Sorry, not a whole lot of them. And so it's little things you can do that have a big impact. But I think the hardest part for everybody, Jeff, is the doing part. It's the getting it done, putting in the work, putting the right people on your team. But it takes time. It's not an overnight success. I can promise you that.
Well, and I think the biggest thing too is everybody needs an accountability partner. And I think that's what 8 Weeks to Wellness is. That's what Dane has created. And Justin, you know, being a key player in that as well. So I know you guys coach doctors through this process and you have affordable ways for doctors that have an interest in being mentored in this, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you guys?
I would just say they can go to our website super easy. I was early on in websites with 8 Weeks to Wellness. So I got 8ww.com. It's only 3 characters, number 8 and then www.com. but they can reach out through that. We do a seminar twice a year, one on the clinical model that we do at Justin's office, where we talk about what does 8 weeks to wellness look like for a patient. And then we do more of a bigger one that we're doing in Atlanta this year, where we talk about the 8 weeks to wellness model more from a team perspective and a doctor's perspective. So they can certainly join us at one of our events or just reach out to me. My email is drdane@8ww.com. Super easy. Justin, you know, I know you have a super, super easy email, Doc Justin Nye. Probably most of the big fish doctors know it. So, you know, just reach out to us and have a conversation with us. Tell us what you're currently doing. I think, you know, I've done this long enough now, Jeff, 2003 to now 20 years, to know what it takes. And it's not the right model for everybody because, like Justin says, it's a lot of work. And if you don't have energy and you don't want to do the work, I would say don't get involved. You know, maybe go and look at maybe supplements or something that's a much easier, you know, easier way to get into wellness. So I would say the first thing is reach out and let's have a conversation about what you're currently doing and what your passion is and where, you know, and then go from there.
Sounds awesome. All right, everybody, that's a wrap here for this month. Dane, thank you so much. And Justin, thanks for hosting Dane. And then everybody can go to ChiroLifeConference.com and get your tickets. If you haven't gotten your tickets for ChiroLife Conference, it is going to be fantastic. We already have a great lineup of speakers and we're adding more to it. Dane is going to be there. So Dane's going to bring it. He'll probably make you laugh and make you cry at the same time. So look forward to that and look forward to giving you a hug, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Have a great month, everybody.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I'm Rachel, the marketing director of Big Fish Enterprises. If you or a colleague are interested in learning the secret sauce to getting a high volume of quality new patients fast, our program, Team Doc, could be the perfect fit for you. Learn more about Team Doc and coaching with Dr. Jeff by visiting www.mybigfishenterprises.com. We'll see you next week.